Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. Truth. To that end, I'm also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, authors, entrepreneurs, artists, marketers, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, I have with me, honestly, guys, one of my favorite people on the planet, my homie Thomas Waterman from Purpose Pioneers, absolutely incredible young man who is so self-possessed and is so driven at helping coaches and other compassionate care professionals find that sweet spot in your professional life between purpose and profit. And that's not an easy thing to do, but he and his partner, Alex, just do an amazing job of helping coaches figure out where that sweet spot is, how to get into it, and how to make those changes for you personally and professionally that will help you stay in that sweet spot. So Thomas, thanks so much, bro, for joining me today. I'm hoping that you might be willing to share with our audience a little bit about how you found coaching and what gave you and Alex just this amazing insight into coming up with this sweet spot between purpose and profit.
Wow. Well, Sharon, aka the Frosh, as we call you, just an honor to be with you. I've been seeing these episodes pop up again and again, and to be in this seat and in this conversation with you means a lot to me, because I also value you a lot as a human
being. Thank you, sir.
Yes. So that's the first feeling I got coming up. And the second thing is I'm so glad coaching exists. I'm so glad this is a thing, because my whole life, naturally, it was holding space for people, asking deep questions, providing meaningful reflections, giving some path forward, some guidance, and helping people become and create and do with what's aligned with who they really are, their authentic truth, and helping them actualize in the way they want. And it's been this thing with friends and family. Like in college, everyone called me Yoda, and you know, we'd get drunk and have deep conversations at, you know, Gasparilla in Tampa, whatever. So this has always been a thing, and I didn't know it was an actual industry in my naive, like, pre-business days. So that's my second thought, is like, hallelujah, this shit exists. So then how did we come to this sweet spot thing? Well, after college, I went into the corporate world, and it was all about empathy. So for me, it was all about, I need to figure out what the customer needs and do everything I can to serve that. And then in turn, I make money. So it was great because I was practicing empathy, but it wasn't fulfilling and meaningful because it just wasn't meaningful work for me. So I burnt out, and we call that the profit burnout. It's like we're practicing empathy in the marketplace, but this shit ain't meaningful. So then I quit my job. I like had a huge awakening, quit drinking, quit everything, and all the things that were impeding me and in my alignment with my purpose. And I was like, I'm going to come back to that 12-year-old astronaut, you know, self, that kid who had purpose and that was all that mattered in his life before I cared about like alcohol and girls, you know? Gotcha. So I was like all in on the purpose side. And so it was profit side, then it was purpose side. So I literally invested $50,000 into a tech platform, and it was all about helping, it was a tech platform or a crowdfunding platform for nonprofits to help them impact the world and invite the community into it and all that kind of stuff. And what I realized is I was practicing zero empathy. So I had no business model. So on that side, I experienced the purpose burnout, which was, this is meaningful to me, but no one's paying me any money, so I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
So there's two sides of burnout, and we're like, oh my God. And then I met Alex. We became best friends. We talked for 10 hours a day nonstop about how can we help unite the two, because we believe that business is the most powerful, sustainable, scalable vehicle for positive impact in the world. I mean, think about it. If I serve others and I make money, then I can keep serving others. And if I make profit from that service, then I can reinvest into my movement and scale my impact. So we're like, business is the answer. Like, nonprofits, you have your place, great. But this is a scalable freaking solution for good. So we're like, how can we help ourselves step into purpose and profit alignment? So the whole deal was, go inside, get clear on what's meaningful to me. What are my gifts? What's my purpose? And then go out, and those people who I think I want to serve, that hypothesis I have, go out and find out what their actual needs are. Then practice the empathy from the place of authenticity. And when I find out what their real needs are, I can then unite them with my gifts and my purpose. And from that sweet spot, anything is possible. From that sweet spot, my message will not only be authentic to me, but it will inspire people to say yes to what I have to offer. My product will not only allow me to use my gifts, but it will also give the people I want to serve the needs that they will actually invest in, the needs they actually want. And now my plan will be exciting. I'll wake up every day fulfilled and pumped, and it'll be moving my business forward at the same time. So that's what it's really all about, finding that sweet spot for coaches and then building their message, their product, and their plan from that place so they can actually have a business that works. Yeah. Because if not, they're going to have to go be accountants. And I want them, I mean, they're on the front lines of transformation in the world. I want them to keep doing their damn thing. So that's what it's all about.
That is awesome, dude. I was laughing as hard as I did when you said Yoda, because one of my friends called me a twisted mix between Yoda and George Carlin the other day.
You know what? That is amazing. I think because you have that bit of like darkness and twisted humor and like shining light on stuff. And then you're also this like, and like hold this incredible space. And yeah, you have that beautiful balance. I think that's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I love the way that both of you, you and Alex, have both had that experience of burning out in purpose and in profit. Alex, you know, having also done the corporate world and having identified, you know, being a young entrepreneur, somebody who's really just like taken the world by storm and realizing that this isn't working for me. And I think a lot of times as coaches, we set out to create real change in the world, but we set out with these underlying belief systems that I'm sure that you can speak to, that healers shouldn't get paid. People who are spiritual need to live, you know, a really austere lifestyle. We really can't make a lot of money. It's the same underlying belief systems that make us angry at like pastors of mega churches who want their congregation to buy them a jet. It's that same underlying belief system where you don't get to have money because you're spiritual. How do you help compassionate care professionals who come to you absolutely infested with these belief systems get past that?
Well, the first thing I want to say is I want people who are making others' lives better, I want them to get paid the most. Why do I want the people who maybe have a little more greedy tendencies to be rich, and that's okay, but people who are actually doing good, you must be poor. I mean, I would think I would want to like divert power and divert economic resources to the people who are actually helping people. So that's the first thought on that. It's a bit of a belief shift. But for me, I think the core idea here is business and connection and interdependence is a beautiful exchange. It's a balancing of energy. We've talked about this before. It's me saying, I love you, and allowing the person to say, I love you in return. And in my life in the past, it was, hey, I love you. I was saying I love you to everyone. I was giving compliments, affirmations, serving people, changing lives, but I struggled to receive compliments. I struggled to receive love. I struggled to receive service. And it was like, oh, well, now it's an imbalanced relationship. And oh my God. And it was all based on brokenness and insecurity inside of me. Yeah. So what I found is life becomes wholesome. Relationships become wholesome. It becomes an upward spiral instead of a zero-sum game or an imbalanced game when I serve and allow the person to serve me back. And there's nothing more loving we can do. Because I know how it feels to give someone a compliment, how it feels to pay someone for the service they gave me. Why would I hold that back from other people? Why would I do that? Why would I block a loving energy flow? So I always just say it's a beautiful exchange. And then the second layer that's really exciting is when I allow them to invest in my services, I actually allow them to invest in their own transformation. Absolutely. Money is energy. And when they are doubling down and investing a lot of money in my services, they're essentially jumping off the cliff and saying, I'm all in. I'm ready to break cycles. I'm ready to transcend limiting beliefs. I'm ready to totally rewire my fucking brain and heart. I'm in. And money is a way to help people create that jump, that like leapfrog out of their comfort zone, out of where they've always been. So I always say an investment in me is allowing them to double down on them finally being who they want to be, create what they want to create, and really self-actualize in the way they want to. So those are my thoughts.
I love that. Brené Brown has a book out called Braving the Wilderness. And in Braving the Wilderness, she talks about the fact that if you have a problem receiving help, or receiving money, then subconsciously, whether or not you're aware of it, you also have a problem with giving it. And I think that there are a lot of coaches and compassionate care professionals who genuinely want to give help and genuinely want to change the world, you know, just storm out there with their little Care Bear hearts and just, you know, explode this positive, this positive energy into the world. And yet they have these subconscious belief systems going on about receiving help and giving help, and it chokes them up when without these, they would be much better to just go out there and explode that unique, incredible energy that they have into the world. So how do you help someone get below the surface, go down and get in there and do that dirty business and figure out what are my belief systems and how can I change this to hit that sweet spot?
I think the first step is a willingness. And yeah. I think that's like the obvious like root of everything is, I mean, I know what Jesus said. He always said there's the wisdom is screaming from the rooftops. Like, do we have ears to listen and eyes to see or whatever? Jesus is a spiritual homie. I got mad love for him.
Dude, I love you.
I'm not religious, but I think he was a gangster. So I think the first thing is willingness. I have to be open to receiving wisdom and wanting to change in some way. And I find, you know, I've experienced this with family, friends. Sometimes there isn't. And before I'd be like, control, make them believe this thing. And now it's like, I'm here if you need it. So first thing is a willingness. And then I think second thing is an awareness. So becoming, cultivating awareness by asking questions and saying, what is driving this decision? Why do I have this belief? And going back in time, seeing where it may have manifested from. And then I think it's stepping out of judgment and stepping into curiosity and compassion. So instead of judging those things and being like, what the fuck? Like, fuck those people, or man, I'm judging myself because I did this. It's stepping out and being like, huh, that happened. Like, let's explore that. Let's dive into this a little bit. And from that place, I think anything is possible, because judgment just like closes the mind up, closes the heart up. It gets really scary. So staying curious. And then I think it's practicing reflection. So saying, how could that be true? How could that not be true? What could serve me in this moment? What is actually true if I could just step away from those stories and beliefs and just really getting curious and laying everything out on the table? And then the key is to, when I step out of judgment, I'm stepping out of right and wrong. So I'm no longer saying, well, that's what I should do. That's what I should believe. It's what do I want to believe? What do I want to do? What brings, what fills me with love? And then I just pick that place. I pick that path. And the job isn't over yet, because now we have to harness the material world, harness action, harness this gritty stuff, this discomfort, and we have to go change behaviors, say mantras out loud, say it out loud, and eventually the whole system will rewire and you'll be able to transcend those limiting beliefs and patterns. So I would say like those are maybe the simple steps. Early on, it's going to be hard and weird and scary, and shit's going to hit the fan on occasion. So step out of judgment when that does happen. I think it'll be worth it.
Absolutely. In AA, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous says that willingness is the keystone to the arch through which we will walk a free man. It's that one thing that, right? Preach it. It's that one thing that you can't teach anybody. You can't teach another person to be willing. You can teach them how to be honest. You can teach them work ethic. You can teach them anything, but reaching that point in a person's life where they're like, you know what, this shit isn't working. I'm going to try it another way. And I think that's the value of a bottom, especially in a coach's life, is trying it your way, hitting the wall, and then coming to that point where they're willing to pay someone like you and Alex, invest in themselves and literally give somebody else a go at it, because their best thinking landed them where they're at and they're not happy with where they're at.
Yeah, the bottom, it's crucial. I think it's amazing when the bottom isn't needed and someone's just naturally open and willing. But what I've seen, even for me, I had to abuse alcohol every weekend because my job sucked, until I ended up waking up at 5 a.m. in a downtown Orlando parking garage and a janitor's like poking me. I'm like, what the heck? Apparently I wanted to get a good view of the city, and I passed out, and I woke up and I remember I sprinted home because I couldn't walk for 15 minutes thinking about what had just occurred, because then I have to face my truth. But what's cool is I didn't have mom or dad there to tell me it's all going to be okay. I didn't have anyone. What's cool is I just had myself, and that actually allowed me to experience the breaking point. And from that moment, I would go out, I wouldn't drink, and I maybe have like something. And then at one point I was like, I'm done. And then I haven't drinking since. And I was like 4 years ago. So I think the bottom isn't always needed, but damn, is it useful. And I see it with so many people. I know you've had your own bottom and it's like, hallelujah. Like, wow, your story is deep. And I'm so glad that you were able to go through all that contrast and reach the dark forest so you could see the light, and because now you can help so many other people. It's dope.
I think that's very true. And I think one of the things that we as compassionate care professionals sometimes tend to do is to judge our bottom against another person. Well, I didn't hurt as much as they did, right?
Comparison game.
As much as you end up, well, maybe I haven't hit a bottom yet. Maybe I need, which is sometimes why I will hold back from sharing my story in crowds of, you know, when I go to conferences and stuff, because you can almost see the inadequacy falling over people's faces. Like, well, I didn't have a bottom. I wasn't on Skid Row and I didn't do that. So maybe, and then we get that going. How do you help a compassionate care professional stop that comparison game?
Well, I think the key is to ask, like, what's the intention? Like, why do I care about the pain I've experienced in the past? Why does it matter to me? How is it useful in my life? And why am I sharing it with others? So if I can get really clear on the intention of it all of a sudden comparison melts away. And that's what I've really found is like intention. It's like, hey, I'm not doing this to have a more painful story. I'm doing this to help people who have been where I've been. It's like, oh, okay, got it. So if I share my story and people haven't been where I've been or they don't resonate, that's cool. And then if they have, wow, what a blessing that I got to connect with those people and help them walk the path I have. So I always think it's about getting clear on, like, why am I even doing this to begin with? And I think if it's an external intention, subconsciously, like, because I want to be seen a certain way, then comparison and judgment will come more naturally. Absolutely. But if it's an inside out experience and where I'm really clear on how it's actually serving me and what I want and how I want to serve, then I think all that melts away.
Awesome. So because your life experience, along with Alex's, really gave rise to the Purpose Pioneers, how do you teach your clients to harness their own life experience and make a robust and thriving business the same way that you have?
Well, I think something we always do is ask people to reflect on past experience. So a question, if people aren't necessarily clear on their purpose, the question I always ask is, tell me three instances in your life where you served someone and they were ecstatic and you were like, you know what? I really enjoyed that. That was fun. I got to do something I like to do and serve someone and they were freaking out. So that really is the sweet spot. So the key is to reflect on past behavior, because we've had 20, 30, 40, 50 years of beautiful experience in this tangible world, this playground of experience. And we can now use that to see what brings us joy and what finds other people value. And that's really what purpose is. It's how I transform others in a way that transforms myself. Purpose is not selfless or selfish. It's both and. It's literally serving others and serving myself at the same time. It's helping others actualize while I'm actualizing at the same time. So that's really what I always do is I start with that very simple question. And then when we find the answer, we're like, well, who are those people? Like, who are they? And let's find three types, archetypes there, and then go out and have meaningful, empathetic conversations with those people. Find out what they actually want and need and where they're actually hurting and what their dreams actually are and what they actually will invest in right now. And then let's formulate your sweet spot from that place. And now there's total confidence and certainty, and I'm literally going to change fucking lives, and I'm going to do it in a way that's meaningful to me. And like, why not? It's possible in today's world.
That's so powerful. I it kind of breaks my heart sometimes when I watch some of the coaching business schools that are out there, when they are telling you, well, you know, identify your ideal client, and you're supposed to pick just this, you're supposed to put blinders on and just pick this one ideal client. This is the only person that works that you really work for. And there's never any real aspect, like you just spoke about, of going out and talking to that potential ideal client or the archetype of that ideal client, be it a drug addict, a mom, a dad, whatever it may be, and really understanding them. It's almost like flying blind. Like you're just, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to create this. And then we wonder why the money's not rolling in, because we were creating a product that wasn't empathetic.
That is literally the missing piece. That is literally the main belief shift I talk about in my business. Yeah. That's what the 99% are sadly missing out on. And that's what I want to bring in. For me, if every business coach would start focusing on empathy and double, triple, quadruple down on that, I will be happy. Like, I don't even want to own this little secret myself. I want this to be like mainstream. So these, because coaches are on the front lines of transformation. They're doing the light work. They're raising consciousness. They're helping people overcome so much in their life, clear out so much so they can love and add actual like light to this world. Like, so I want everyone to know this one thing. Go inside. What are my gifts? How do I want to serve? Go talk to people. Have real, real conversations. Don't do leading questions, and find out who they are and what they need. And that's really what beautiful relationships are. Beautiful connection is.
Absolutely.
What are my needs? Who am I? And who are you? And what are your needs? How can we come together interdependently and serve each other? So just like in a relationship, it's the same as business. It's the same as political shit. It's all the same. And it's the secret sauce, the sweet spot.
It really is. I think that as a society, especially Western society, we've identified this belief system that if I yell loud enough, then I've communicated. And that's really not it at all. It's if I've listened. Oh. If I've been present with that other human being without judgment, without trying to, you know, okay, what are they going to say next so I can have my bat ready for them? More, how can I understand this person? And that's what I love about you and Alex so much, is that you come from a place of, rather than trying to play the ponies, which is honestly, I hate to say it, but that's the way that I kind of feel a lot of coaching schools do, is you kind of look at, well, getting clients is kind of like winning a horse race. You're going out and you're playing the ponies. You guys are actually out there genuinely wanting to connect with another human being, which is where all the power is, all the magic is. You spoke about you drinking heavily. I've drunk heavily. I've done drugs. And there are studies proving now that connection is the answer to that. And I love how you guys do that. So how do you teach someone who's come from that school of play the ponies to start genuinely investing in connection?
Once again, I think the key is to find intention. It's like, why am I doing this to begin with? And I think if I'm wanting to create a real business that works so I can serve others and be served in return sustainably, if that's what I want, I stop paying attention to the trends. I stop paying attention to what everyone's saying. I stop losing sight of what's authentic to me, right? When I can get really rooted and grounded in, why am I doing this? Now I just go find what's authentic and aligned and true. And I think that's all, it's almost just that simple. I found in my life, like my life has gone from complex to very simple in a short amount of time. And for me, it's just like come back into intention and then align with that intention instead of trying to find what's right and wrong, try to find what everyone else is doing or not. And it becomes very simple. I mean, business is literally an outgrowth of human connection. So if I want to actually have a thriving business, then I go and find how can I connect authentically with others. It becomes very simple, I think.
Yeah. Well, Thomas, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show with me today. And I do want to reiterate, like I've done in a post before this week, I'm expecting mad hater updates from Bali when you get there. Okay, bro?
I don't even know what haters are. I don't even know. Like, I see haters as potential, as family. I really do, Sharon. Like, we had someone recently like come at us with all these, like all this accusation and judgment and all this. And I remember I just reached out and I was like, hey, first I want to say I love you and I want to hear you and I want to lean in with you and I want to see where you're coming from. And I want to check in on my blind spots and I want to see if we can move forward together. And that's literally, and it, sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes I'm like, ah, and I, you know, want to karate chop, but really like, I don't know. I don't think haters, cause like for me, I think haters are just like, they're secretly just wanting to align and connect and heal and all that. So I look at them as like potential like places and opportunities where I can really lean the fuck in. And that's really helped. It's helped me a lot. It's helped me a lot because think about it. You know, Frosh is like, we step into more and more speaking the truth as we step into more and more being public and doing all these things. there's two choices I have. I can put walls up and be scared and bite back and all this kind of stuff. And I think there's a place to do that. But, or I can open my heart with boundaries. So I can be like, I'm okay. You're not bad. I don't hate you either. I'm not going to sink to your level. I'm just going to be me. And then, however, if we can't come to something, I'm going to create this little thing here. I'm probably going to remove you. And I'm going to move forward just because we don't align, and that's okay. And there's abundance of connection in the world. Maybe this isn't meant to happen right now. Maybe in another lifetime or something. So it's a really liberating state of being to be in. It's really helped. Absolutely. And once again, I don't think it's right and I don't think it's wrong. It's just really made my life a little better. It's like, okay, I'm feeling a little better. My nervous system is chilling.
I love it. So I just want to take a moment to thank all of our viewers today. Alyssa, Andrea, Ashley, Julie, Sarah, Ashley Ingram, Joshua.
Ash.
I know she's like, yay, my favorite people. Thank you guys for joining us today here on the show. We always love having you. If you catch this video after we're no longer live, drop us a hashtag replay. Let us know that you were here. Let us start some conversation and connect with you. If you like what you heard, and come on, dudes. Are you not like what you just heard? All of Thomas's contact information is in this live. His personal profile is tagged, Facebook page, website, Instagram. Get you some of this goodness. Trust me, this is a man that you want to spend some time with. Truly, genuinely good human being who holds space for people like probably nobody I've really ever met in my life. Just a genuinely good young man who has a good heart and a good message. And is out there changing the world. So thank you to all of our viewers. Thank you again, Thomas. Namaste for joining me today. It was a real pleasure.
Namaste, Sharon. And reflecting back all of that to you.
So, thank you so much. We will be back here tomorrow, guys. Same place, same time. And as always, you know, I love you.